Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
God's good, amen. Well, I just want to say this. God is increasing us. How many have noticed? Amen. You know, we'll have fluctuation in attendance, but I'll just tell you this. We started out with 13 adults 4 years ago. 13. And that was all the leadership. So all I did every Sunday was preach to the people that were in my board meetings as well. And you know what they did? They showed up, they brought their Bibles, they sat down, they teach us the word, you know? And God has continued to grow and develop us, and we're increasing. And I sense in my heart, as I was praying for today, God is going to do some significant things in 2019. And you're not connected here if you feel like this is your home church. You're not connected here by accident. God wants to do something very significant in this area. I don't know if you noticed it during the transition time when I was exhorting, but I feel like God is going to do a massive thing in Billings, Montana. Now, I say that, and people have heard that for years. But you know what I've noticed, and you've read this in Timothy. Paul told Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith with the prophecies that have been given to you. Now, there's two sides to that. One is the written word is prophetic. Did you know that? Okay. It's prophetic in and of itself. It is a thus saith the Lord, but not like we think today. And then there are individual prophecies that will come out of that. Does that make sense? But let me help you with something. All prophecy has to come out of the foundation of the word. There's no outgrowth of individual prophecy that's correct that isn't founded in here first. Does that make sense? Okay. I got to say that because sometimes today I get concerned about different things at times because I feel like people are getting away from the word because they feel like they have the Holy Spirit and I've had people tell me, you know, I don't need to read the Bible. I have the Holy Spirit. I cringe inside. Not only do it as a preacher and as a minister, I have burned for truth from the word. Okay? But then also I'm concerned about that person. Because I know you guys know this, and I know you have many of you have studied this, and maybe it's new to some, but I'll just make this correlation here. The enemy appears as an angel of light. He doesn't appear as an angel of darkness. He masks himself as a spirit that God would appear as. So how are you going to know which one it is you're hearing from? You better know the word. We are word heavy. I have always been word heavy. I will always be word heavy. Always will be. If I see something in the word and I've been doing something, you know, or functioning in the church in a certain way or having services a certain way that I don't feel like's in the word, I will change. I will repent and change. Because the word of God has to come first. Because it's the foundation by which everything else is built upon. Amen. His name is the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I really feel like God's going to do some significant things as we move into 2019. In January, I'm going to kind of give a state of the union on a Sunday morning, just a state of the church, just some general overview on what God has done and where we're at and what we want to do in the future. So that's coming in January. But I believe that God is raising up a group of people that will fulfill the vision that he has. Now, he does this in every generation. There is no generation that he doesn't do this in. Every generation, God is constantly looking and to work with humanity to be able to express himself outside of just the creation itself. Okay? Because how many know there's an expression of God in the creation? Amen? Okay? So, evolutionists that think they have found atheism in creation, it's going to be their own evidence. It'll be the evidence they studied will come all the way around and prove them wrong. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that just like the devil? Try and twist things up, tie it up in a knot. Amen? So as we move forward in the plan of God, don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you feel. When you are coming, how many have realized, or at times you feel like, man, I did what God told me to do and all hell broke loose? How many have ever experienced that before? You're headed in the right direction. Opposite of the enemy. People that say to me, well, I'm not even aware. I had somebody tell me this one time. I'm not even aware there is a devil. Then you must be walking with him. Well, but I thought you were a victory preacher. I am. But how do you have a victory? You got to have a battle. See, nobody wants to finish that statement. They're like, how do you have a victory? You have a fight. And then you win. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So, the difference between us and the world is we get answers and manifestations from God. We shouldn't look like the world at all. Amen. We shouldn't look like them. Spiritually functioning, we should be different. And God's doing that for us, so he's bringing us up higher. So I wanted to address something real quick this morning. Psalms 1:1. Last week I made this statement that we should not let the ungodly in any arena lecture us on how we should act as Christians. And I just want to share two scriptures just to back that up this morning, because I made the statement, I felt like it was right, but then I thought, well, maybe I ought to give a scripture. Psalms 1:1 says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." If you're allowing the ungodly to give you counsel, the blessing is not there. People say, well, but they may be sharing scripture. Well, I'll just put it to you like this. The same group that condemns the church for using Leviticus as a standard of truth against homosexuality uses Leviticus as a standard to say that we should open our borders as in the United States. So which is it? Isn't that kind of hypocritical? So we got to watch it, because even as the Word of God is pure and true, yes, but how can an ungodly person function inside of godliness? They cannot. They have to be born again first. Amen? So don't let the world lecture you on how you're supposed to be a Christian. Now, I'm gonna give you some scriptures today that are pretty substantial, and sometimes people think, well, you're just trying to pick a fight. Nope, the fight has already been picked. We're just functioning in it. Does that make sense? People say you're trying to stir up the church to the Word. I'm okay with that. Well, you're going to create contradiction. And Jesus went around and he taught peace. Oh, naturally, you have some scripture to validate that. Because I got one in my mind right now where Jesus said, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Well, what is the sword? Well, it's not me running up to somebody going, "You're not a Christian?" Wham! Our battle is not flesh and blood. But have you ever noticed that if you stand on truth and somebody is absolutely against it, they will go into a rage? It's spiritual. It's spiritual. You got to watch it. Amen? So another passage of scripture here in Luke. You say, well, then who should instruct the body of Christ? Who should correct the body of Christ? The body of Christ. Luke 6:39 says, "And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind?" That's verse 39. "Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." So the standard is Christ. Verse 41. "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own?" How many times have you heard that verse quoted? A lot. Like, a lot. And I, honestly, I think if the church errs on any side, it would be on that verse. Let's read verse 42. "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly, but don't say anything to your brother, because you need to leave your brother alone and stop judging him, and don't talk that way to him, and stop being so harsh on those people that call themselves Christians, but are outside the..." What? Nope, that's not what it says. I made all that up. What does it say? You'll see clearly to what? Remove the what? Speck that is in your brother's eye. Well, that doesn't sound like, that sounds judgy. You're just judging me. Okay. Did the person remove the plank from their own eye? How are they approaching you, in other words? Are they approaching you with truth and love? And then, do you have a speck in your eye? When that word comes to you, what do you do with it? Well, that, you know, the preacher's kind of young. I'm older than they are. The truth is the truth is the truth. How many have ever heard this that have kids? Well, I was going to do what you told me, but my sister did this. What has that got to do with us doing what we were told? What is the disobedience of somebody else got to do with us doing what we're told? The answer is nothing. Guess what? At the judgment seat, I'm not going to be able to pull my siblings up there. This is my older brother, Toby. This is the middle sister, the only sister, Carrie, and she's like this tall. Toby's more like this. I'm the tallest, praise the Lord. I win. Anyway, there's no sibling rivalry though. And then my younger brother, Chris, and we're all standing there. And the Lord says, Sean, what about this? Well, Toby, you know, he... Nope. Nobody else gets to be there but... Well, my wife... Nobody gets to be there except for me. There's a little bit of trembling in me about that. You know what I mean? And there should be a good, healthy one. So, my point is this. Don't let the world lecture you on how to be a Christian and continue to stand for truth, but do it in love. Secondly, if correction comes, it should come through the body of Christ. And if it does, you need to analyze it, look at it, pray about it, read it, and see what the Lord deals with you about. And if it's right for you to repent, then repent. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so let's finish up in our series. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says this, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So what I'd like to do this morning is just wrap up some, these are kind of areas where the enemy will come in, where it's not just directly a thought to your mind, where he'll try and work through circumstances around. What I've found through the years in studying the book of Acts, in looking at the temptation of Jesus and that temptation that took place that we read about in the Gospels last week was, we don't see other people there. We see Jesus and the devil. Amen. Do you remember that? So we see them, there's this combat going on. And some of the spiritual combat that you're engaging in is just that. It's just you and the enemy coming against your mind. It's not necessarily coming through anybody. It's not necessarily circumstantial. It's just you are doing something during the day and a thought will come to you and you go, that is nasty. That had to be from the devil. Get out in the name of Jesus, okay? A thought will come that will be contrary to what commandments the Lord has given us to follow, and that's where you attack with your voice in those things. But what I've found is that through the years, when I've obeyed the Lord, stood on the Word, and walked daily in His Word to where I'm combating those things consistently, is the enemy has to back up his defenses. He has to, or his onslaught. He has to back the soldiers up. And what he does is if he can't get you to you directly himself, he'll begin to navigate around you through other circumstances, situations, and people. Did you notice that after Jesus whooped the devil real good, that the enemy really started to use the religious leaders of his day to come against Jesus? Let's look at one of these. First this morning, the enemy may attack you through your family. How many have experienced that? The enemy may attack you through your family. Now, if your family's all here, you may not have raised your hand. I understand. That's fine. Nonetheless, it's the truth. Mark chapter 3, verse 31. This is Jesus. It says this. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. So this is Jesus' mother and brothers, correct? They're his blood. And the multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. Now, come on. This is Jesus' mom. This is the one that carried him for 9 months, gave birth to him, raised him. Watch what Jesus does. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother? Oh, I bet that just blessed Mary. Now, you don't talk to your mother like that. Now, you kids that are in here, don't you dare say this to your mom. Well, the preacher said I could say it. Who is my mother? You're going to get smacked, all right? That's not the point of this verse, okay? He said, who is my mother? And he said, or my brothers. Do you know Jesus' brothers didn't automatically just believe in him? Many, it was after he was raised from the dead that they believed in him. Why? Because have you ever noticed this, that family knows you real well, so it's hard for them to believe what God's going to do through you? You got to watch it. You got to watch it because they know, they know that your little inconsistencies and issues that you have. He said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. How many would like to be Jesus' mother? Then do the will of God. How many would like to be Jesus' brother or sister? Then do the will of God. Do you see that? How many would like to be in that category? Then do, hear and do the word of God. So in other words, what do we see here? We see that Jesus makes a delineation between natural family and spiritual family. You know, I know of people through the years. In fact, I know one very well who, when I was a youth pastor, he gave his heart to the Lord and he's in ministry now and none of his family serves God. He wasn't even raised in a Christian home. And he still serves God. Do you know that this person, I consider him a friend. I was his youth pastor at the time, but I consider him a colleague in ministry now. He's a youth pastor. But do you know he did not alter the way he believed and lived just because his whole family did not live the way he lived? He lived according to the supreme authority of God in his life rather than yielding to what his family would do. Why? Because he found a new family. Now, does that mean he disowned his family? No. He's a light inside of his family. But what are you saying here, preacher? I'm telling you this, that your natural family, if you're not careful, could lead you away from the leadership and the commandments of God. What did God tell Abraham to do? He said, get up and leave your family. Why? Because his family was not going to lead him in the will of God. He did not hate his family. He did not despise his family. He followed God. The best thing you can do for your family is obey God. So be aware of this. If the enemy can't get you directly, he'll try and start working the line around you. Come on, these are war tactics. Okay? They're war tactics. My son and I play this war game online sometimes. And in the game, you can get into squads of four. And you can run through these giant maps, okay? These maps are full of, you know, the terrain varies. And you find weapons and different things, and it's fun. You know, it's man stuff. And the... But you'll watch these groups of guys on the game, and sometimes girls too, not as much, but sometimes. And they're all playing online together, and they have these headsets. And they're playing in different homes. Sometimes they play in different places on the planet. But they're talking to each other because they're connected through the internet feed. Okay? And they're playing together. And we sometimes, after we get killed, which isn't very long after we get in there because we stink at the game, because I won't sell my soul for video games and become good at them. So he's not going to either. Anyway, that's totally another message. But I could go there. Anyway, so... You can watch the other teams after you die. And you can see them, how they work, and they work in strategy. You'll have two guys, that are together, and then two guys, one guy will hold back, one guy will go in the front, and they'll work together against the other teams to try and pick off the other teams one by one. They'll circle around and go. Come on, the enemy does the exact same thing. He does the exact same thing. He'll try and use the family to go, oh, you go to that church and they teach this and that. That's just crazy. It depends on what the foundation is on. See, I think it's crazy not to believe who God said he was. Okay? So you got to be aware of that. Don't let them. Now, you don't have to try and rebuke them and correct them. Just let your life preach. That's what I've found is best with family. Let your life preach. And then they'll see it eventually. Amen? Hopefully. Praise God. And you're believing God for them. How about this? Leaders, not only, go to Acts chapter 5. Here's another area where you can be led astray by the enemy. The enemy can get in. I will say this, and this probably won't win me brownie points with some, but leaders in churches can lead you astray. You know, I've heard some amazing messages as far as the speaker and no word. Just, this is what I thought. This is what I perceived. This is what I'm of the conviction that no matter what office a preacher stands in, they should be a preacher and teacher of the word first. Even if they stand in the office of a prophet or an evangelist, or if they have a specific leaning, like God will do this, he'll lean ministers in a particular direction. They'll have one subject that they really work from. As long as they work from the foundation of the scripture first, I'm good with it. If it's not from that place first, if you're not hearing scripture, turning to it, looking at it, digging into it, then the foundation that you're upon could be sand. So you need to be aware of that. Look at this in Acts chapter 5, verse 26. It says this, then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. Now, who is this? This is the religious leaders of that day, and these men are being brought before the council. This is a council. Well, Sean, what if a council comes against me? Stand on the word. Amen. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? What did they command them not to do? Not to teach in the name of Jesus. Now look at Paul's, now let's stop right here. Is there a scripture that Paul wrote that says that you're to obey the laws of the land? Yeah. And I'll just add a caveat because I got scripture in context and I'm about to read it to you. As long as they don't violate the gospel and the truth of the word. Amen. I'm not saying you got to, you know, start a revolution in the sense of a natural revolution, but a spiritual one you should. You'll see this about the disciples. They were quick to obey God above what other people thought. Even religious leaders. Come on. Even religious leaders. Now, all of these things can be taken and twisted and all that, but I'm believing for balance. How about you? So, they said, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Boy, they really did not listen, did they? You know, don't preach in that name. You filled all of Jerusalem with the doctrine that we told you not to fill it with. Okay? Then they say this. They say, and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Yes, exactly. We intend to bring the blood of Jesus upon every man's hands. Head, body, we want everybody doused in that blood because then they'll be righteous, they'll be redeemed, amen. If they receive it. Peter says, and the other apostles answered, so it's all of them. They're probably like, ready, one, two, three, go. They speak. We ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. Is that true? Yes, if the men in leadership are not following God, if their foundation is not the scripture, you ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. Why? Because what is the enemy trying to do? He's trying to shut down revival. He's trying to shut down Christian, true Christian reformation. He's trying to shut down God's move in the earth. Through what? Through governmental leadership. I wonder if that happens today. Come on. Come on, come on. How about this? Mark chapter 8. The enemy will try and work through colleagues at work or in ministry. Mark chapter 8, verse number 31. And Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. That's quite a testimony. Now, Jesus is teaching this to the disciples. Verse 32, he spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. How many know it's a bad idea to rebuke the Son of God? But when he had turned around and looked at the disciples, speaking of Jesus, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, for you are not mindful." Where did Peter get tripped up? In his mind. "You are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." In other words, Satan tried to get Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness, but couldn't. So what is he doing? He's using somebody that is close to him to try and get him off. Do you see that? Now, none of this is designed to put you on fear alert. Okay? This is not you going, you know, I wonder what that person meant to me by, "Do you want to go get some lunch after church?" You know, unless you're a single lady and the guy looks suspicious, you know, you might want to pray that one through. But, you know, don't hyper-spiritualize this, okay? You have the Holy Spirit within you. Your heart, if you're born again, is right. Listen to it. You know inside. People say, "Well, Lord, give me a vision if I'm supposed to do this." No, stop that. If the Lord wants to give you a vision, he will. It's as the Spirit wills. It's not as you faith it into existence. But you can always know the witness of the Holy Spirit within you. Amen? So be aware of that. And so what is Jesus doing here? He's fixing everything because the disciples are watching Peter going, you know, Peter was right earlier. What happened right before this? Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ." And he said, "Flesh and blood," Jesus said, "flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." So now Peter went from Holy Ghost to devil. Just like that. And you say, "Oh, that's not possible." Oh, really? I think I've witnessed it first. I might have been a participant in that one. We are human. We can miss it. Amen? And when we function in spiritual things, we have to be aware of this. That's why the word is so important. So be aware that the enemy could try and do these things around about you, okay? How about Galatians chapter 2, verse 11? In fact, this ties in great with that word I gave you earlier about the church correcting the church. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch," Paul said this, "I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all." Now watch this. "If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews?" In other words, what was Peter doing? He had been duped by the enemy into when a certain group of people showed up to leave the Gentiles behind as if they were someone lesser and go and just associate with the Jews because he feared the Jews. He didn't fear God and the gospel. So what took place here? Paul gets in Peter's face in front of everybody. Imagine if this happened in church. You can't tell me what to do. And that's the problem with a lot of the church. Nobody can tell anybody what to do. And I heard a minister say this. He said, if you're not able to be corrected through men, then God isn't able to correct you. Ooh. Now that has to be understood in context, of course. We go back to the Word of God and we go back to the motivation and things like that. Of course we need to know that. But sometimes we get so independent in our thinking. And independent, you know, I live in Montana. I killed it, I drug it home, I skinned it. We're the home of the Unabomber. We're going to be the home of the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Anyway, I don't want to get off on that. You know, Peter could have looked at Paul and said, you know, I walked with Jesus. What did you do? You persecuted the church. He could have looked at Peter and said, or he could have looked at Paul and said, who do you think you are? But he didn't do that, did he? There's no record of that, is there? In fact, Peter even speaks favorably of Paul in his letters to the churches he wrote to. Why? Because he's a humble man. But you notice Peter was a humble man, but he was a fighter. He had some gut. You know, just because somebody's strong doesn't mean they're not humble. Good word, amen? And all the men said amen. You can be strong in the Lord and strong and powerful in your place in Christ and be humble as well. But be a leader using your strength as an example for service and leadership and protection, amen? So the enemy could try and lead you that way. Let's look at another one, the news media. False press, Acts chapter 13, verse 49. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and they expelled them from their region. What did the Jews do? They stirred up an entire area where Paul and Barnabas were preaching and got them kicked out based on lies. I wonder if that happens today. People say, how do you find this stuff in the Word? Read it and 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 listen to the Holy Ghost and read it and read it and read it and read it again and read it again and read it again and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I got it on podcast, man. I will listen to it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Why? Because this is my primary purpose right here. To bring this to you. And then in the midst of that, God says, boom, this, Sean. And I go, oh, I never saw that before. The entrance of his word brings. Acts chapter 14, verse 1. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude of both the Jews and of the Greeks believed. Verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews did what? Stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their against the brethren. Huh, I wonder if that's happened. Well, your churches, you don't just accept everybody just the way they are. And they demonize truth. But let me help you with something. I didn't come up with this. The Lord said this. This is the record of the scriptures that are so historically accurate, they have not been able to prove that they didn't exist or they're not right. You know, there's more evidence for the Bible and its accuracy than it is for a lot of the historical books that are taught in public schools. You think God's going to be without witness? You think he's in heaven going, oh no, they might prove I'm not there. I'm not real. No. He has not even bitten one of his fingernails off. Not even a partial of them. He's not in heaven going, somebody bring me some relaxing music. I feel stressed right now. No, he's God. He's sitting going, see where I spoke that in Genesis? Angels go, yeah, he says it's going to come to pass right here. In 2019, that's going to come to pass right here. He said, look down there. Look at those people. They're believing me. Manifestation is a week away for that person. Why? Yeah, I spoke it back there. And by faith we go, whoom, whew, and pull it in. But the enemy's doing the same thing. He got all these words going around, whoa, every which way. And we have to go, let's weigh it against this and see. Listen, don't believe the news media, guys. Oh, well, you're just a tinfoil hat guy. I will not let people that are pro-murder of children, anti-God, anti-God's creation and the way He created things form my thoughts. I will not. Listen to me, guys. It is worth dying for. It is worth it. Why? Because it's God's truth. Amen? Acts chapter 14, verse 19. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing he was dead. God raised him from the dead. Acts chapter 17, verse 4. And some of them were persuaded, and great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob. I wonder if that has happened in 2016, 17, and 18. I wonder if that has happened. Guys, the devil is no different today than he was then. It's all about destroying righteousness. And it says this, they set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring him out to the people. I wonder if there have been groups today that have set a city into uproar. Come on. He says this. In the last days, false ministers will arrive. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. He said, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. These are men that were preachers of the faith. There are preachers in the church that claim that they are Christian, that they are children of God, and they are preaching doctrines of devils. They are preaching doctrines of devils. How about the enemy church fights? I gotta love these. Seen this through the years. I had one guy, we're in church, the church decided to change the name. Guy walks up to me. I was new in ministry. Guy walks up to me afterwards. I've always made my checks out to the other name of the church, and I'm always gonna, and I ain't gonna change it, lest it doesn't matter how many times they change the church name. Well, he should know that the bank will still accept the old name because they know. In other words, why are you upset about that? These pews, these chairs are brown. I don't like brown. You say, that doesn't happen, preacher. Oh, if I could only tell you. And how many like John Christ? You know who John Christ is, the Christian comedian guy? Look him up sometime. He's hilarious. He said, now normally he makes fun of the church, and I think it's justified. We have a lot of things that we should laugh at ourselves about, okay? Because we do. It's funny to me. If we can't laugh at ourselves, then we're way too serious, okay? We need to be able to laugh at ourselves. And he does these live feeds where he gets on and does these different little things that are, they're not skits, but it's just a little comic 30-second deal. And so one of them I was watching, he was reading Google reviews of churches. Okay? Google reviews of churches. And I'm watching this, and part of it for me is really personal, so I probably will laugh harder than you because I'm in the position that I'm in, okay? As far as pastoring. Can you hang with me a few more seconds? Okay. You do it every week anyway. But anyway, so he was reading one, and he's reading these different ones. And some of the concerns in the church, you know, they're things like, you know, the music was too loud, or the music was too quiet, or when I came in, you know, just different things. And they're minor things, okay? And one of them was, you know, the music, I had a hard time getting into worship because it was just too loud. There was too much this, too much that, da-da-da-da-da. You know, one star, I won't be back, and, you know, and stuff like that. And he said, oh, yeah, I'm sure the church in China is struggling with this. See, we get too hung up on little things. One person said, now these are adults. One person said, nobody said hi to me. He said, what is this, youth group? Do we have to play Fluffy Bunny? He said, get up, go across the aisle, and introduce yourself to somebody. Hi, my name's Sean. What's your name? You say, oh, that's mean. No, no, no. That's love. You need to increase. People say, well, I have no friends. Are you a friend? Are you friendly? Well, I'm just shy. Well, then you'll remain lonely. You see, the Bible doesn't say you're just shy. The Bible says that you have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead living on the inside of you. Go introduce yourself to somebody. Amen. I watched that one and I thought, dear Lord, yes. Say hi. You know, walk in and smile. Hi, hi, hi. How you doing? Good to see you today. Shake a hand. Hi, how you doing? Amen? Okay, praise God. Glad we got through that. Okay, church fights, Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, they won't treat me the way I want to be treated. Love them the way you would like to be expressed love back. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. People say, well, nobody's interested in what I'm interested in. Get interested in what they're interested in. Come on, sow a seed, reap a harvest. Well, I just don't understand it. Understand it, learn it. Come on, show yourself, dig a little deeper. Amen? You'll develop godly, long, how many have a good godly friendships? That you've just walked through stuff together with them. It hasn't all been pleasurable, but you've just stuck with it. And man, they're the best. Because that person will always come back to you and go, let's go back to the Word. Let's go back to God. Let's put our faith in the Lord. And you develop relationships. And that's supposed to happen in a church. And if the enemy can get the church to fight, well, I don't like this and I don't like that. Paul says this in verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. That is a word of the Lord. If the church bites and devours each other, you will be consumed. That's not even the devil doing it. Now the enemy's working through people. You understand what I'm saying? If he can get you and he get the leadership and we're all together, and this is actually, I'm going to interpret what I just did. It's prophetic in nature. Would you stand, please? It's prophetic in nature. If he can get them, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I don't want to. Okay. I'll just say this. It doesn't take a genius to see a problem. It takes a genius to solve it. Amen? Be a solution. The enemy's working. Just be aware. You know how you do it? You go, glory to God. Thank you, Father. I thank you for your word. Your word's working. And through the day, when you see something come up, you go, no, I'm not going to think like that. I love my brethren in Christ. No, I'm not going to follow that thought in the news media. I'm not going to follow this thing that was said, because those are the enemy's attempt to try and work into my life something that's not supposed to be there. And you control your mind. Let's say this together. Say, my mind is mine. A deep revelation right there. Say it with me. Say, I have control of my mind. Yeah. What did Paul said? He said, think on these things. What did Joshua say? What did the angel of the Lord tell Joshua? Meditate in this law day and night. Ooh. Somebody say, by the grace of God, I can do it. I won't quit. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for truth. Lord, we are doers of your word and not hearers only. I thank you that you have fed your people today, Lord. And I thank you that we are going to see significant change and increase in Billings, Montana in 2019. Lord, we are soldiers for you. We are in a war. We understand it's not a flesh war, but we stand for truth. And in truth, in love, walking as children of light, being an expression together and wherever we go, in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.